All right, so good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. Please take your Bible and open to 1 Thessalonians. It is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I'm sure all over the country, preachers are standing in their pulpits just like I am, and probably thousands are preaching from the same passage of Scripture that I'm preaching from this morning. So, and I know there are other passages out there to preach from. I understand that, and I get that. But this is where we're going this morning, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, okay? Find your place there in the Word of God this morning, okay? We're actually going to start reading in verse 14. Our text, of course, will be verse 18. But we'll start reading in verse 14, okay? Trust that you found your place there. Those willing and able, I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please, as we reverence the reading of the Holy Word of God this morning. Verse 14 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Pray with me, would you? Father, we do thank you once again for the Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for its preservation. We thank you for those men who are willing to be moved by your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray that as we consider the eternal things of life, that the temporal things of this world that so often cause us distress and trouble will for a few moments be set aside in order that we might consider those things and contemplate those things which are eternal, which shall indeed affect our physical lives. Lord, may you have control of everything that's said and done, and especially this poor old preacher's tongue this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I suppose to some degree it is human nature for us to challenge or at least question the existence of God, especially when we're in pain or when we're suffering or when we see so much misery in the world in which we live today. And that's whether you're Christian or not. That's whether you're saved or not. We have to deal with the question of God's existence when things just aren't going like we think they ought to go. You know, we all have this concept of what the good life is, right? You know, and that concept of what the good life is usually means that it's a life that's free from problems, free from things breaking down and having to be constantly fixed, free from things that go wrong, free from relationship problems, free from marital problems, free from financial problems. And so we have this concept. Man, life is I dream it to be. And we, you know, that idea. But when things happen that don't go like we expect them to go, we begin to question. And I discovered this week in hearing so much about white privilege. I've heard about this often. Maybe you have heard the term white privilege. It's by the woke people. And I've decided that they are right. I have come to the conclusion that there is white privilege. And black privilege. And Hispanic privilege. And Indian privilege. And whatever color skin you might have, privilege. It all boils down to basically pride and greed. So yes, we all have this privilege called pride. We think we deserve things. We think we are supposed to have things, you know. And so in that respect, yeah, I can kind of go along with it. But it's this privilege idea is nothing but a euphemism for pride and envy. That's the bottom line, and that's all that there is to it. Beloved, everybody has to deal with their sin issue of pride. We've all got it, even saved people. We still have to deal with our pride and our arrogance and our egotism, you know, which is all in direct opposition to the supremacy of God Almighty and His will. Everybody, like it or not, believes that they are to some degree or another. We hang on to that idea that we're privileged somehow or another. And we're living in a time in our country that's as divided as it has ever been, I believe, since the Civil War. In the country we live in today, there's division in our schools, there's division in our families, there's division in our communities, there's division in our cities, there's division in our state, there's division in our government, and there's even, believe it or not, division in our churches. Of all places where there should be unity, there's division in our churches. Never since the Civil War, I think, has there been more hostility toward one another than what we're seeing in our country today. And all this bad news and all this divisiveness and all this belittling of one another and the continuous media wears on us. And it wears you down. And it's all part of Satan's ploy. Satan's number one goal is to get people distracted, and especially to get God's people distracted from the only thing that can serve as an anchor for their soul, which is the very Word of God. That's where the truth is. We need the truth of the Word of God. But Satan will do everything in his power to distract you and get you away, thinking that you don't have enough time and you don't have enough energy to set apart to take care of your personal devotions and get into the Word of God. He's succeeding very well at doing this. Well, I believe that if there was ever an individual that knew suffering and deprivation, it was the Apostle Paul. If anyone, I think, had a reason to doubt whether God was good or not by what he suffered, I believe it was the Apostle Paul and everything that he went through. Yet how did he battle this temptation to question God or even to shun God or certainly to question the goodness of God? Even as a Christian, we have to deal with this temptation to just give up and give in when you're constantly being embattled by the media today. If you pay attention to it and you turn it on, they're constantly going to wear you down. They're constantly going to try to beat you down. How do you deal with that? Paul said, here's my answer. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And the key in that whole phrase is not in the thanks, but it's in a little two-word preposition, in. In. He didn't say for everything, give thanks. That's not what he said, folks. He said, he specifically, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, in everything. He didn't say for everything. You say, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference. Because if you're for everything, then you're encouraging it. If you're for it, you're approving of it. If you're for it, you're sympathetic to it. If you're for it, you're supporting it. And the Bible makes it clear that there are certain things that we as God's people cannot support, we cannot approve of, and we cannot encourage, and we cannot be sympathetic toward. And that is called sin. And that is called evil. The Bible makes it clear that we cannot be thankful for those things. You say, why not? Because those things go against the very nature of God. God is not going to be for or encourage the very things that go against His nature. It's an impossibility. Impossible. We can't be for it. Because God is sinless, He cannot be thankful for sin. The Bible makes it clear if God has any attitude towards sin, God hates sin. He hates sin. That's His attitude towards sin. And that's got to be our attitude towards sin. Murder is not something to be thankful for. Rape is certainly not something to be thankful for. Theft is not something to be thankful for. Torture is not anything to be thankful for. Divorce is not a thing that we need to be thankful for. That's why Paul said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Listen, we all suffer. We all suffer at the hands of sin in this world in which we live today. The Bible says, no temptation hath overtaken you, but such as is common. You remember that verse? But such as common to man. All men, all humankind on the face of this earth suffer some kind of loss or pain. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're where you fall on the socioeconomic scale. It doesn't matter. It is common to all men. And the temptation today is to get on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, whatever media you get on, and see what everybody else is doing. And then when you get on Facebook or Twitter, whatever they're on, everybody's so happy, you know, they're doing this, they're going there, you know, and they're having a good time, and they have a smile on their face, and you look at what everybody else is doing on social media, and you're going, wow, man, how come my life is so miserable? They have it so good, you know. Well, they might have more money than you have, and therefore, because they have more money than you have, they might be able to bury some of the things that affect you, because they got money to handle it. I don't know, you know. Misery is no respecter of persons. Hardship is no respecter of persons. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Believe it or not, the problem is not how we're going to get out of our suffering. The problem is not how we're going to get out of our pain or how we're going to escape misery. That's not the problem. But that seems to be the natural result. Okay, how can I get out of this situation? How can I get out of this circumstance? That's not the problem. That's what Paul is saying, in everything. He didn't say get out of everything. He said in everything you give thanks, not get out of it. But the natural reaction of the flesh is, oh, man alive, I don't want to handle this. How can I resolve this? How can I change this? That's not what Paul said. That's not what he said. Because of Adam's sin, we live in a sinful world. And it permeates life. And the only way to really get permanently out of this situation that we're in is through Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, so that one day when you leave this earth or He comes back, things are going to change permanently, because He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or we're going into the eternal realm. That's the only way you're really going to get out of it, is repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Know Him as your Savior, and your future is secure through Him. And that's it. But that's not where we are. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. Paul said that our immediate solution to living in a sin-sick world is to give thanks. That's what he said. This is not a crutch. I know people accuse Christians of having crutches. We hear a lot today about, you know, well, you know, you just need to give thanks. Well, yeah. You hear a lot of people say, well, you know, you just need to have a thankful heart. You need to appreciate and thank those who have contributed to your well-being. And I'm not against any of that. I'm not against any of that. But what Paul is commanding us to do here is something that a lost person cannot do. If you're lost and you're reading this passage of Scripture, you cannot do what Paul is telling you to do here. This is not some kind of psychology here. This is truth speaking to God's people here. And the world uses thankfulness as a way to make them feel better about themselves. This is not what this is about. This is for Christians and Christians alone. Now, I hear people say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Because I know that, you know, I give thanks and it makes me feel better. What? It makes me feel better. That's as far as it goes. Because that's what it's about today, is how you can feel better. And basically, how you can feel better about yourself. And that's the end of psychology. It just makes you feel better about yourself. That's what it does. Man is the center of it all. What did Paul say? Let's go again to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said, for even though they knew God, pay attention, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Let me repeat that. Even though they knew God, so what it says, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, this is where human thankfulness and genuine, true Christian thankfulness part ways. Because Christian genuine thankfulness is where God is indeed the object and the source of all of your blessings. Lost people cannot go there. It is impossible for a lost person to go where Paul is commanding us to go. A lost person cannot honestly, genuinely thank God. Now, listen to me. I've heard lost people thank God, and I've heard lost people do it very sincerely. I don't doubt at all that there are a lot of lost people out there on Thanksgiving Day who do what here it says in verse 21, even though they knew God, they don't know God. And I have no doubt there are many sincere people going to be on Thanksgiving Day who don't know God personally, who will give God thanks. But sincerity does not cut it. Because what we're talking about here is a personal living relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says that they're futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts are darkened. God cannot and will not hear a lost person's thanksgiving. Cannot happen. And people are going to do it all over the United States of America. They will not. God will not hear their praise, even if it is directed toward them. That's what it says here in Romans. Why? Because it's all false and it's all self-centered. How do you say that? Because their hearts and their lips are hypocritical. And the Bible says that their heart in their heart is nothing good, that they're evil through and through. They're depraved through and through. They're depraved, folks. They cannot give thanks to God genuinely. Because there's nothing good in their hearts. God never commands lost people to praise Him. Saved people praise Him because that's what praise He hears. Now I want to go on here real quickly. I want to give you four things, okay? What I want to do is I want to give you four things thankfulness does in the child of God. Four things that thankfulness does in us as a child of God. Number one, it keeps us from being possessive. It keeps us from being possessive. You see, why is that important? Because when we attribute everything we have as a blessing and a gift from God, it makes us realize that God's the owner. He owns it all. Not just the 10% that you might want to give on Sundays or any whatever portion you might want to give toward the Lord. He owns it all. All 100% He owns. So thankfulness keeps us from being quite so possessive, and therefore it keeps us from being selfish. Selfish. We thank God often. And we need to thank God often for what we have. There's nothing wrong with thanking God for what you have, folks. I hope you do that. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that at all. It is from the hand of God. But we don't need to be possessive of what He has given to us and realize that He owns them so we can turn loose of them when He calls upon us to turn loose of what we have. Only a regenerate heart truly understands that God owns everything that you have. Number two, it puts everything into perspective. Thanksgiving helps us put everything in life in perspective. It makes the temporal temporal. And that's where we need to keep the temporal. Okay? Although we have much from God, it's all temporal. There's nothing that you're going to ever take with you when you die. You're going to leave everything. When the undertaker takes you into the funeral home, and he dresses you up and he puts some clothes on you and he sticks your old body in some kind of a casket, and you have people come by and look at you and say, oh yeah, the clothes that is on that body, you don't even have those clothes on your old dead body. You're not even there. We spend a lot of money on funerals and you're not even there. Naked you came into the world and naked you're going to leave this world. Thirdly, thankfulness opens our eyes to the eternal purposes of Almighty God. There are a lot of awful things that happen in this life if you live long enough. A lot of things happen in this life that you don't like, things are going to be painful. And you're going to cry out. You know what you're going to say when something really hurts? You know what you're going to say when something catches you off guard and it's painful and it's suffering? You know what is the first thing you're going to say? Why? Why? Everybody here who's been a Christian long enough has said, why? You said why? Now, God, in His prerogative, may or may not answer why. A lot of times He doesn't. Sometimes He does. But it is the natural inclination of the heart, of the human heart, to understand and ask why. Now here's the deal. Whether He answers your why, whether He doesn't answer your why, is not going to increase your faith. It's not going to do it. We think that if God answered my why, that my faith would increase. No, it won't. It will not increase your faith. If you understand why or whether you don't understand why, it's not going to increase your faith. Paul said, in all things, be thankful, because that is when God is going to show you His purposes. Not necessarily answer your question why, but He will reveal to you His purposes. We don't need to spend a lot of time asking why, but we need to spend most of our time thanking God and praising God. And when we do that, you will begin to see the purposes for the things that happen in your life, more than the answers. You know, when Judy's mother died here a couple of months ago, she died rather unexpectedly. Suddenly, nobody, the doctors, the nurses, the ER people, nobody, I'm telling you, nobody thought she was going to die. I'm talking about right up to the very second that her heart stopped. Nobody expected her to die. None. But I'll tell you this. We began to look and see all that God had done. We began to see His timing. We began to see His purposes. And all of a sudden we found dozens and dozens of things to be thankful for. And it was almost overwhelming when we began to stand back and we began to see what God did when in her death. And we were overwhelmed by the goodness of God and the purpose of God and what He had accomplished in something that was so unexpected. God has a purpose for everything, folks. God never does anything haphazardly. There's no chance with God. Don't go gamble. Okay, don't be tempted to go to the casino and waste your money there on chance. Don't do that. God is very capable of taking care of you without you going out here and blowing your money on some kind of chance. God has a purpose. God is not haphazard in anything that He does. The Bible says this: we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It's when we see God's purposes, folks, that we begin to praise Him and glorify His holy name. And isn't that the ultimate game end? Is that we praise God and glorify Him? Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's going to make the pain go away, folks. I'm not saying that's going to make the loss go away. I'm not saying that's going to make the suffering go away. But it will give some order to the chaos that you feel in your life. Well, number four. Thankfulness opens our eyes to the eternal. It opens our eyes to the eternal. We're able to see that there's a life beyond the current life that we're living in. It makes us transcend this life. above this life. When God is the object of our thankfulness, we're able to transcend the world. All the world sees, if you're paying any attention at all, what's going on in the world, all the world sees today is injustice. Oh, I feel I've not been treated right. I feel like I've been treated wrong. You know? We get discouraged and downtrodden because life is hard, there's no hope. So what do? Well, we'll drown our sorrows in entertainment. Entertainment is a substitute for joy, folks. Happiness. That's all it is. That's it. That's all it is. They get joy out of traveling. Some turn to liquor to kill their emptiness. Some take drugs to take the edge off their sense of failure. Some go to suicide. I don't know if you've been keeping it up or not, but we passed 100,000 suicides in the last 12 months. Most ever. For some, it's taking a gun and killing the problem, or taking a gun and making a name for themselves, or taking a gun and trying to expand their power. We can thank God that this world is temporal and that we have an eternal home that is awaiting us. And we look forward. I don't know about you. I look forward to the eternal. As much suffering and pain as we have in this world, it's good to know that this world is just temporary. It's just temporary. It's not going to be like this forever for us. Thanking God for eternal life helps us transcend this old temporal world and look beyond this temporal world, and it makes us eternally minded. And when we get eternally minded, we begin to act eternally. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ's death on the cross that gives us eternity. And we're going to live in a place where there's no more sorrow. We're going to live in a place where there's no more sin. We're going to live in a place where there's no more death, where there's no more pain, where there's no more suffering, and we'll never be plagued again. And I'm looking forward to that, folks. I place my hope on that. I thank God for that. That hope is mine. So it puts life into perspective. The kind of thankfulness that I've been sharing with you this morning is a kind of thankfulness that settles your soul. It's a kind of thankfulness that brings peace to your hearts. It's a kind of thankfulness that calms your spirit. It's a kind of thankfulness that disperses the clouds of depression. And it's a kind of thankfulness that helps heal the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that comes from living in this old sinful world. You say, well, why is all that stuff important? Because if you're lost, let me tell you, if you're lost, you pay attention, if you're lost, all you've got is this world. This is as good as it's going to get. If you're without Jesus Christ, it don't get any better than right now. All you have ahead of you is the grave and your name on a tombstone. That's about as permanent as it's going to get, is your name on a tombstone. Without God, you don't have any hope. Without God, your only hope is death. As a child of God, we see through the Scriptures where the stone was rolled away from the grave. We see the Son of Man coming out of the grave in victory over sin, hell, and death. As a child of God, we see an empty tomb, which is our hope. And we thank God for the resurrection. You may express some kind of thankfulness this Thanksgiving, but let me tell you, without Christ, your thankfulness is in vain. It's truly in vain. I'm going to ask Brother R.D. to come forward. We're going to have an invitation hymn here. True thankfulness begins when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you confess to Him that you are a sinner, that you have no hope, no goodness, nothing to bear before Him to pay for your sins. And you repent right there as the Holy Spirit deals with you, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And He saves you. He gives you a new life and a new hope. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you this morning, you need to get serious about repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask, well, let's stand together first. I'm going to ask R.D. to introduce our hymn, and then we're going to pray.
5:42.
Heavenly Father, we come before You once again in this sacred hour to praise Your holy name. And we do thank You, Heavenly Father, for everything that we have. And I pray that as we go through the next few days that we'll begin to enumerate all those things that we have as a blessing from Your hand and praise You for them. Help us to remember, Father, we don't own anything. We honestly do not literally possess anything in this world or of this world. That our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You restore in our hearts a true joy that will help us to put a perspective on this life. Help us, Heavenly Father, to trust You even greater through the coming days. Now, Father, if there's one here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, Father, that Your Spirit would rest upon them in a mighty and a powerful way, that it might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Careless soul.